Hello and welcome to another episode of the Full Force Weekly, brought to you by GeneralsJoesReborn.com with me, Christopher McLeod, aka Diagnostic 80. For today's episode, I am joined by the awesome Justin Bell of Generals Joe's fame. In this regular video series, we round up all the week's news in the world of G.I. Joe, Full Force Weekly. At some point, I'm going to get tired of being so ridiculously positive at the beginning of these things.
Could be like, yeah, full force, whatever.
Yeah, whatever. Not today, though. Let's get stuck in then, buddy, with some movie news. So, Henry Golding has been busy with interviews this week, talking with both Entertainment Weekly and Anthem magazine. He discussed the test screening, director Robert Schwenke's influence on the style of the film, and the cooperative nature of Paramount Pictures. He also leaned into the Japanese influence of the movie and the focus on Snake Eyes as a character, rather than multiple characters from the franchise. On top of all of that, he also revealed on Instagram that he is having a baby with his partner Livlo Golding. Congratulations, guys. Justin, let's start with Henry Golding's comments in those two articles. Are you happy that producers at Paramount seem to be taking advice from Golding and others involved with the film?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, especially because, you know, I mean, he's obviously got a little Hollywood cachet now. He's been a star in a pretty lucrative film with Crazy Rich Asians, and is obviously on his way to becoming sort of a leading man of sorts. So I think He's got some perspective that would be valuable. And obviously, if they're gearing a lot of Snake Eyes towards, you know, the Asian heritage, I think his input is probably pretty valuable there. So I think I love hearing that. I think it's great. And it also kind of maybe makes him a little bit more invested in the franchise if he feels a little bit of ownership kind of over what the character does and what the movie portrays. So I think it's all good things.
Awesome. Yeah. And it's still like such a mystery as to what we're actually going to get, isn't it? Like, I'm just so...
It's driving me crazy, man.
What have we had so far? We've had one image from the entire production. That's it. We've had a few behind the scenes kind of like video clips. But in terms of like, in terms of like what we're going to see, it's really hard to get a gauge, isn't it?
It's really, I mean, it's almost impossible. We did see that one image, which is just, you know, a guy in a, you know, pretty generic martial arts uniform looking up at a temple. So it really didn't give you an idea of sort of how G.I. Joe ish the movie's going to be. So it's frustrating. It's understandable. I mean, obviously the world situation is a little bit, you know, screwed up at the moment, but man, I really want to see some buzz generated, and right now it's just kind of, it's almost radio silence, and obviously I think they've got to wait to see what happens over the next several months to see, to just make sure that there will be a Hollywood next year. They got to figure something out, because it's killing me. It's really killing me.
So many movies are being pushed back as well, for obvious reasons. So they're umming and erring about Wonder Woman now. And like, you don't know if it's going to be on like some sort of streaming service or if it's actually going to be put in theaters. It's a weird, it's like a really weird time to be involved in, isn't it? And like horrible for anyone involved in the movie business.
Oh, it's awful. And you know, I mean, we both know, you know, Patrick Stewart well, and he's got a, you know, he works in the theater business. So I obviously, you know, I feel for him and kind of what some of his employees have been dealing with. But it almost seems like they've got to find a strategy, because we've got theater chains closing nationwide and internationally. We've got, you know, supposedly theaters kind of not really were forced to, but were encouraged to stay open to support, you know, Christopher Nolan's new blockbuster Tenet, and then it didn't do well. So, you know, it ended up costing theater chains more money than they made. Mm. And it's just, you know, they got to figure something out, got to get a strategy. And if it's streaming, you know, as much as I feel for the folks in the theater business, you know, I think they've got to kind of focus on that and move towards it, you know, just to kind of keep this content flowing. I mean, it's especially, if you look at something like the Marvel Cinematic Universe, where everything is so tightly interwoven with everything else, you've got this Black Widow movie delay, which has perhaps, you know, kind of screwed up timing of a bunch of different things, because they're so, you know, particular about which order these things broadcast in. Yeah. So, you know, the delay of one movie throws the whole franchise out of whack. And I know ultimately, in the grand scheme of things, it's entertainment. It's not life and death. It's not critically important as compared to other things going on in the world. But still, when so much of the world is dealing with such stressful times, you know, we need some of that outlet to kind of look forward to. And I mean, I know from my own perspective, you know, the Marvel Cinematic Universe is like, that's kind of my pinnacle of entertainment. That's the one movie franchise I'll go to the theater to actually see is stuff from the Marvel Cinematic Universe. You know, I hardly ever go to the theaters anymore, but I was there for both Avengers movies and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's an event, and I think it's too bad that, you know, we can't really find a way to, you know, the technology is there. We should be able to find a way to accommodate this sort of situation.
It's really sad, actually, because, yeah, like you say, there's so many movies that you kind of have to see in the cinema. You have to see them in a theater setting to get that kind of full immersion. And, yeah, that has been one of the things this year that has really kind of made me think, man, I took that for granted for a long period of time. Like, I was just going to movies, whatever, you know, and then, you know, like, again, yeah, just kind of coming out and going, yeah, that was good. But like now I'm like, I need to see this film in the cinema. And it's a big shame.
Yeah. And like you said, it's sort of an event thing. I mean, every year, every December when the new Star Wars movie would come out, me and like about six or seven of my close friends would all travel down to an IMAX theater in Southern New Hampshire and I'll watch it together. You know, I'd take a day off work and that was how I saw these people once a year. And we always had a lot of fun. We'd go to a bar afterwards, you know, and just kind of hang out a little bit. And it was kind of the centerpiece of this gathering that happened once a year. And, you know, it's just, I mean, well, there's not a Star Wars movie this year to do that with, but just the same, I mean, not having that kind of theater experience to build that around, it's going to be a real bummer. I was all excited when you moved to Rhode Island because you were going to be close and we could go see Snake Eyes together and kind of nerd out on it together. And now it's like, all right, well, we'll sit on the phone and watch it streaming together or something. I don't know what we'll do. But
we'll watch a dodgy copy of it and stream it on.
There you go.
I'm kind of really hoping that we get vaccines or whatever. I think we get something to allow us to see Snake Eyes next year in its full kind of glory. In any case, coming back to Henry Golding there, are you still feeling positive about the things that are coming out of his mouth with the interviews?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I'll feel a lot better if I can see some footage of him in some way, shape, or form. But I mean, he's saying all the right things. He's making all the right kind of appearances. And you know, he's obviously taking the character seriously. And so, yeah, I'm really happy with the way he's kind of, you know, expressed himself in the media and stuff like that so far. I think it's been really great steps in the right direction.
And of course, you know, congrats on having a baby too in the middle of 2020.
Congratulations
on that. Liv Lowe is pregnant, I believe. But anyway, congratulations, guys. All the best on that one. Moving on, and Snake Eyes Sword Brother was also in the news this week. Andrew Koji has been talking to Collider about his role as Storm Shadow in the movie, and he has continued to delve into his disappointment regarding the way the character was depicted in the previous live-action movies. In the interview, he underlined his determination to make this version of the character a very layered and more interesting take. Are you confident Andrew Koji can give us something better in his Storm Shadow role, Justin?
I think the fact that he's talking about it is a really good thing. I mean, it's obviously on his mind, and so I would assume that's going to, you know, kind of affect how he portrays it in the film. The fact that he's paying attention to kind of how the previous Storm Shadow, you know, the good things and the bad things, which, you know, Storm Shadow wasn't a terrible part of the previous two movies, but he was kind of just there, sort of generic bad guy. And I really look forward to seeing what Andrew Koji can do as far as adding more layers to the character. And yeah, the fact he does bring it up frequently in almost every interview he does, he talks about wanting to make him more personable, more human. And I think that's great. I think it really shows that kind of attention that he's paying to the character, which is a really good thing.
I desperately hope it's genuine as well. I hope that we actually see more of the character too. I mean, it's probably more likely that we will get to see more of Storm Shadow in this movie, considering he's so intertwined in Snake Eyes' origin.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. I mean, just by focusing on the Snake Eyes piece of this history itself, I think allows them to give a little bit more breathing room to Snake Eyes and Storm Shadow both, which, you know, it's a double-edged sword because we've been force-fed Snake Eyes and Storm Shadow for years and years and years. And in some ways, I'd love to see them explore some other areas of the mythology. But at the same time, they are kind of the linchpin of the G.I. Joe universe. And if this really is a reboot of that whole universe, then it makes sense to start with them.
Absolutely. A couple of people kind of saying on comments and stuff that they thought Andrew Koji's coming off a little bit like a bit of a in the way he's kind of like, you know, tearing into the omelet. But I don't know, I kind of I feel like he's prefaced it in each interview, and this has only happened twice, but he's prefaced it in each interview saying that he had nothing against Lee Byung-hun, but it was the fact that the character was so poorly kind of portrayed, and it was just, you know, shirt off and that was it. And I kind of understand that. I get what he's saying, and I feel like even if he does just have more screen time to develop a character, that is going to be far and away a better way of giving us the Storm and Shadow that we kind of need.
Absolutely, yeah. And I don't take his comments as being an insult to Lee Byung-hun at all. I think it's more the people kind of wrote the films and directed them, not necessarily directed, but maybe wrote the films and kind of portrayed the character as somewhat paper thin, you know, that didn't allow them to kind of delve too deeply into that character. And if I remember right, I don't know, I don't recall if Lee Byung-hun could actually speak English, or he didn't speak a lot of English. So that kind of perhaps might have created some obstacles to how well he could sort of, you know, speak to or kind of act in and amongst his English speaking peers. I mean, so I don't know if that plays a role in it as well, but again, yeah, I don't take it as an insult to him at all, what Andrew Koji's saying. I just think he's trying to show how this film's going to be different than the others.
Absolutely. Okay, so moving on. Statues next. PCS have revealed their Wave 2 statues, and in full colour this time. Yes, after they dropped images of the new Wave prints unpainted a few weeks back, we finally have new pics of the Baroness, Destro and Serpentor in all their decoed glory. What do you think of these now they're in colour, Justin?
I think they look really cool. Yeah, I mean, I don't know how much I'll collect them. I mean, G.I. Joe to me is all about kind of the articulation and the figures and stuff like that. So, but they look awesome. I mean, I think they look really cool on shelves. And I think the neat thing about them is that they're not outrageously expensive. I think too often we see these, you know, kind of high-end collector statues that are a few hundred bucks a piece that are gorgeous, but kind of cost prohibitive to a lot of people, where some of these others aren't, you know, they're a little bit more reasonable cost-wise, and kind of, you know, maybe they don't have quite as much detail in the sculpting as some of the other stuff, but they have a very kind of animated look to them, and I think, you know, very colorful, and I think they would look really great on display.
Yeah, definitely a G1 vibe going on with these ones. And I like how
kind
of almost animated Destro's face kind of looks. There's like a real kind of cool vibe to that.
Yeah, they've done a great job,
I was really excited to see Serpentor's deco. So when that came up, I'm like, yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah, they nailed it. Yeah,
big time. Yeah, so I think I'm going to start calling these Zero POA instead of statues. Zero points of articulation.
There you go.
We should do like a new show called the Zero POA Burst, which will just be about statues. But yeah, in any case, I'm the same as you on this one. I'm not a massive kind of statues fan in general, but these do look cool, and I do kind of, you know, I'm kind of happy with what PCS are doing with this line. So all the best to them, really. And I'm looking forward to seeing what other characters they bring out.
Definitely.
Who do you think is coming out next?
Oh, they're gonna do like, maybe Flint might be one that they do next. Maybe Zartan or something would be pretty cool.
I mean, it's been very bad guy heavy so far, because obviously we had Storm Shadow and Cobra Commander, and I think it was Storm Shadow in his original getup, so he's Cobra. And then you've got Snake Eyes. So you've got one good guy, and then five bad guys so far with Baroness Destro.
Yeah, so I guess Duke is probably the next obvious one. Duke would make the most sense, but...
Yeah, Duke, Roblox, Flint next, then definitely. Lady J, even, yeah.
Snake Eyes is a little outnumbered at the moment, so...
He can handle it. He's Snake Eyes. Anyway, that's it for the news this week, Justin. So let's move on. Yeah, very, very minimal news week this week, but some good stuff in there worth kind of chatting about. And we have just had Fan First Friday, but for Transformers and Ghostbusters, Star Wars, and we said Star Trek then, and Marvel Legends. So they've been kind of busy, Hasbro, today. Just before we get on to shout-outs, what do you think of that new Ectotron reveal? Did you see it? It's going to be the Afterlife
deck. I did see it, yeah. Yeah, I think it's neat. You know, I kind of like these little crossover things they're doing. I hope they don't, you know, kind of hammer it into the ground. But yeah, I think it's kind of cool. I couldn't really tell, you know, I'm not a huge Ghostbusters fan, so I couldn't really tell how different the deco was, but I think it's neat that they're kind of serving those different communities. And I love the fact that the alt mode is, you know, it's immediately recognizable as Ecto-1. I mean, it just looks exactly like it. I think that's the engineering of that stuff is just incredible.
So on the stream, John Warden kind of went through a few of the differences in there. Obviously, there's a slight deco change where you've got that kind of worn, dilapidated, not battle damage, but obviously it's been in a shed for numerous years, so it's got a bit of rust on it. So there's that aspect to it. There's a different head sculpt to signify the new kind of goggles, I believe.
Gotcha.
So there's a new head sculpt on it. There's also, obviously, an extra ghost. They've changed Slimer. They've kind of changed his deco. And the other, I think it's Masher, the other ghost, with like multiple arms and stuff. And then the other aspect that's different, I heard, was on the gear rack on the top of Ecto-1, slightly different. Like the ladder's on the wrong different side, and there's some other stuff going on. In any case, there are some subtle differences. But yeah, for me, like, I definitely went in on Ectotron. I really like Ectotron. I'm not sure if I'm going to be jumping in on this just because of the.
Yeah,
similarities are so, you know, because it's so similar. Yeah. We'll see, because it's going up on it's or actually already been on Target, so it probably sold out in about.
It's gone. It was gone like 30 seconds after it got listed. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's probably the case. In any case, it's not really a shout out, but I figured it was worth talking about. In any case, so that's Ectotron, I guess. In terms of shout outs this week, I'd like to shout out. Obviously, we've already mentioned this, but Henry Golding and Livlo Golding for salvaging 2020 by getting pregnant with a little Snake Eyes or Dawn Moreno. Good luck to you both and all the best. Justin, bets now. Is it going to be a boy Snake Eyes or a female Dawn Moreno? Are they going to have?
I'm going with Dawn Moreno.
Nice. Good shout. just thinking about what presents to get them. For the baby shower. Obviously.
When are they going to do the gender reveal party? As long as they don't burn down California.
I was going to say that, yeah, don't do it in California. Don't do it anywhere right now, because it'll just end in absolute tears. They'll probably do it in Antarctica and like melt all the ice caps with one explosion. In any case, yes, so congratulations to those guys. And the other big shout out I want to give out is Assembly Required, Brian Sauer, Travis, all the guys involved in that, Joe Declassified, Ron Wagner, and here's one of the t-shirts that they did for the show.
Nice.
It was an amazing show, and guys did an amazing job putting it together. Virtual convention, the first Assembly Required virtual convention ever, and they did a great job. So big shout out to those guys. You can check out the Full Forces G-Force panel, which I posted on the Monday following that, and Joe Declassified's panels are going to be going up on codenameiowa.com in the next week or so. So you should be able to get a hold of those two as well. Justin, any shout-outs for you, mate?
I do. I actually have one this week. I just wanted to give a shout-out to Leanne Hanna. She's Stratos Maka on Twitter. She's an artist and a really fantastic artist. She's worked on a couple of comic brands. Has done a webcomic, a Star Wars webcomic for a long time. But I saw some commissioned artwork she did for Power Rangers for somebody, which was a really cool kind of colorful animated style. So I asked her to do up a commission of Lieutenant Stone from Sigma 6 for me, and she kicked ass at it. It's a fantastic commission that I really loved, so I'm gonna be getting a lot more from her. So if you're on Twitter and you're looking for somebody to draw you some cool G.I. Joe stuff, check out Stratos Maka on Twitter and hit her up, because she's got some real talent.
Links in the description. No, that's awesome, and it's a really, really cool the stone image as well. Brilliant, really cool. Someone else I'd like to shout out actually before we go, Adam Riches, for his hilarious post he made the other day about his Sergeant Slaughter custom. Now, if you get the opportunity, go check out the art of Adam Riches on Facebook, Twitter, etc., all those places. He posted this amazing like blog post on Facebook of what should have been a very straightforward repaint of an action figure and how it just went out of control. I'm not going to spoil anything in it.
But I was on the edge of my seat. There was like explosions. I mean, geez, that was crazy.
There were literal explosions in this this story. So yeah, go check that out, guys. In any case, Justin, buddy, thanks for doing this rather quick Full Force Weekly with me this week.
Absolutely.
And also, stay tuned at the end, because Justin and Kokomo Toys have a very cool competition to announce as well for this week. So thank you, Justin, generaljoesreborn.com.
Absolutely.
That brings us to the end of this episode. Thank you for watching the Full Force Weekly. Massive thank you to my awesome co-host, Justin Bell. See you next time. And as always, after three, Justin, one, two, three.
Full Force!
Competition time! On this week's show, we are giving away a Snake Eyes and Cobra Commander set of classified figures, courtesy of GeneralsJoesReborn.com and Kokomo Toys. All you have to do is comment wherever you see this video with your favourite G.I. Joe and Cobra character versus combo. We'll announce the winner on next week's show, so good luck, and as always, full force! Make sure you get involved with the discussion by liking, sharing and commenting on these videos, and as always you can keep up with the show after listening by following on Twitter at The Full Force, liking the Facebook page facebook.com/TheFullForce, and if you would like to contact the show you can message us on either of those platforms with feedback or questions. We have also started a Patreon page, so if you want to see your name up in lights on these videos or enjoy exclusive bonus content, then check out patreon.com/TheFullForcePodcast or click the link on any of the posts this podcast appears in. Full Force.